Luke 15, starting verse 11. This is the famous parable of the two sons, and one takes his inheritance and takes off.
Prodigal?
Is that the
prodigal son?
I guess it is.
Yeah, parable.
I don't even know what prodigal means.
It's probably going to be wasteful or something.
All right. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took the journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat? Have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. This parable is interesting on many levels, and the meaning of some of these words are critical to the understanding of it. His portion is just meros, and that's his portion of what possible inheritance, if they inherited, you know, if they split the thing at that point. And the word goods means, it's a word, osia. It means all that you have, all that you possess. Wait a minute, where are we? And he divided unto them his living. Living has two words in the Old Testament. One is bios, where we get biography. And others is, it means your life in time and space is bios. But the word for life that's translated to spiritual life or life in God is Zoe. And so, and they're both translated life. And so when you read some of these parables, you have to understand, they get to have more meaning when you see the word between bios and Zoe, or Zoa. And so, that's just there for the time being. And he took his journey. It means he went to a different country. And he went to a different country other than Israel, because anywhere he went in Israel, he would have been known by as the son of this rich man. And so he took off to Nogales. That's what we used to do in Arizona.
Tijuana.
Huh?
Tijuana, California.
Yeah.
Aspiring immigration agent.
And he wasted... Wait a minute. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took the journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. Riotous is the word which means profligately, or profig. How do you pronounce that? Profligately. And it's the only time it's used in the Bible. But wasted is one of these fascinating words that you didn't understand, or we don't understand just from what it says. It's the word diascorpizo, and it means to winnow the grain, to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Which word is that?
Wasted. But all of let's just look and see how it's used in other places. Let's go just to the next chapter, Luke 16, verse 1. Here it means in verse 1, he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And because it's talking about a hireling, it could mean he stole his goods, or he misused them, you know, whatever. And then John 11, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it if you want. But John 11, this is when he was before the high priest. I mean, they were taking counsel about him. Then gathered they the chief priests and the Pharisees, the council, and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our places and nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation not perish. And this he spake not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not only that nation only, but that he should gather together in one the children that were scattered abroad. And there's the word scattered, is the word wasted, the same wasted, the winnowing. In one sense, what you did your entire life prior to the mystery of God being revealed in you is being winnowed, or it's God harvesting, if people see what I mean. You understand? No matter what it is you have done, whether it's positive or negative, until you reach the point where you were no longer satisfied with what you were doing, you were winnowing. God was winnowing you. Until you reach this point, and from God's standpoint, it's all riotous living. It doesn't matter whether you're doing good or bad, because he is winnowing you so that the real you, the seed of Christ, would be revealed. And the chaff, which was everything else that you've done and thought and been, is just blown away in the wind. So that's why this parable is so important. It's that you must be winnowed. And the winnowing is so that the chaff is revealed and the seed stands alone. Now the seed then still has to go through a bunch of crap, but it's important to recognize the seed then, once the winnowing happens, the seed is baptized in this parable, in this metaphor. You understand? What?
Go ahead.
Okay. We're gonna see that more in a minute. Okay, go back to 15. Or you may not have left. I left. And wasted his substance in riotous living. Then verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Was a famine and began to be in want. And again, that had to happen to you. There was a famine and you began to be in want. You see where I'm going with this? You wasted your substance. It was God winnowing the grain to get the chaff away from the seed. And then when that happens, you begin to be in want. Remember what the word poor means. It means that what you've been doing and being no longer gives you satisfaction or sustenance. So you begin to be in want, and only then can you hear the mystery of God. That's the meaning of poor. You begin to be in want. Not only you wasted, it doesn't matter whether you screwed up or not. It doesn't matter whether it was positive or negative. It doesn't matter whether you were a criminal or not. You were being winnowed so that the seed could be revealed. In his case, he wasted the substance. Not only was there he had no more, but there was a great famine in the land he went to get for his riotous living. So both things are working in your life. Maybe still are. They're working until you reach the point of want, where you no longer, what you're doing no longer gives you sustenance nor satisfaction. Began to be in want. And it's interesting, the word want is in the Greek is hysterio, where we get hysterius. Hysterio. All right. Am I making it clear what I'm talking about here? All right. So in verse 14. He spent there was a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. No matter what you do, when you have reached that state of being in want, nothing satisfies. Nothing satisfies. Even the things that you've done before, nothing satisfies. And I know this was my life. I don't know about yours. But as long as something satisfies you and brings you sustenance and satisfaction, that's still of the world, then you can't hear.
That's pretty graphic. The husks, like the corn husks or whatever.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Or the chaff of the wheat.
Yeah.
It all has to be gone.
Satisfies, yeah.
Now, with some of the wheat, remember, it's not just thrown up in the air and the wind blows it. It's the crap is beaten out of it. To get rid of the chaff. He began to be in want. Nothing can be done. You don't even know what's going on because all you know is what you're doing doesn't satisfy. You don't get any sustenance or satisfaction. You stay in want. that's the word paktos. You can be a billionaire. Doesn't matter. That's not about, that's not what poverty means. And the gospel is preached only to the poor. Let's go to Isaiah 61 a minute and see this.
Isaiah 61?
I think. But I may be wrong.
The gospel is preached to all, but not all hear it.
Do what?
The gospel is preached to every man.
But the only ones that hear it are those in want. So the gospel is only to the poor. That's what he says. Oh, I know I do. I was in 51. This is what he quoted the first sermon that he gave. It wasn't really a sermon, but he was called to read at the synagogue in Nazareth. And then he, and remember it says he stood up, and we'll go there in a minute just to make it. But this is the 61, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is...
51 or
61? 61.
I'm sorry, what did you say? 61.
Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings, or the gospel, unto the meek, or it says in the New Testament, unto the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And now let's go to Luke. Let's see what Luke 4. Starting verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where we had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And his job was to read from the Haftarah, or the prophets. And it happened to be this day that this was read in the 3-year cycle. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the paktos. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So the only time that from your standpoint you're in a state of paktos is when you know have nothing left in your bag of tricks. Or, and I'm not picking at anybody when I say this, but you have nothing left in your good ideas folder. And by the way, everybody had one, has one, or had one. Gary's just a...
Dumb enough to tell.
He admitted it, huh?
Dumb enough to tell her.
Yeah. He has nothing, nothing is satisfying. Nothing, you don't get satisfaction or sustenance in anything. And you have nothing left in your bag of tricks. You are grieved in the greatness of your way, and you say there is no hope. Instead of finding the light for your own hand. And so finally, you're in a state of poverty. Because you have been wasted. You've been winnowed to the point where there is nothing left that satisfies. Nothing less that gives you sustenance. And that's the state of this prodigal son that we're studying or looking at. Everybody understand what I'm talking, where I'm going with this? Your whole life you've been winnowed. All right, back to Luke. And this is why it's so important. In Galatians it says, if you build again the things that you destroyed, you make yourself the transgressor. Now what did you destroy? At conversion, you supposedly destroyed all the value systems and all the systems of the world. But you build again the things that you destroyed. Therefore, you make yourself the transgressor. Amen? All right. Now, let's look at this thing about want here a minute. To be in want. I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures. Let's go to Philippians 4. Paul is commending the Philippians. And he said, in verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Both to abased, to be in want, and to be full. And neither makes any difference, because you don't get sustenance from abundance and you still have sustenance when you're in want. So you've learned in every way, in all ways, both to be abased and to abound. It doesn't make any difference. Yeah. But you had to go into the far country to know that. You had to know. In other words, this kid didn't just sit there and think he had something that he wanted to do. He acted on it. He didn't think about it. He acted. Oh, man, if I just had this, then I'd be happy. If you're still saying that, then you're not in want, because you projected yourself into a state of being by your mind, by the evil one, to be deceived, that if you had that, then. That's why so many people that are physically or monetarily poor, they're full of ideas. They're full of if-onlys. And so they're not poor from God's standpoint. So it's important that you understand this. That's why I keep saying over and over and over, if you've got something you want to do, go do it, but do it quickly. Don't think that you have to be here or anywhere. Whatever it is, if you have something left to do on your list of what ifs, go do it. That's dangerous, especially when you tell the kids that. Well, I don't think I ever told that to a 4-year-old or a 12-year-old, but I told it to all 18-year-olds. All right, that's enough for today.
What were you shooting for here in this, going into this Bible study?
You what?
What were you shooting for? There was like a...
up with this study for some reason, I assume.
It's next in the loop in what we're studying.
That's it.
Okay. I didn't have an agenda. It's the next thing after we were studying whatever we were studying before this. Repentance. And if I don't think we have got apprehended or this, we've been apprehended by this, then we'll probably spend as much time on this as we did on repentance.
Just a question.
Huh?
Just a question.
All right. Take it, big guy.